If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and a reality check you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Up Your Brave show here with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. I'm so excited to bring you my next guest. I'm talking to Joe Rosati, and we're going to be talking about standing for humanity. Joe is a podcast host and a songwriter, and it's so good to have you on the show. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Natalie. It was great to have you on TruthStream. So it's cool to showcase each other's work, if you will.
I love it. And I love how people come together and connect. And it's so amazing. So what I'm going to do is introduce our guests to you. And then I'd love it if you can tell us a little story about how we actually met. So for those of you that don't know Joe, Joe Rosati, am I saying it right?
You are, exactly.
Joe writes acoustic-based soulful music influenced by the 60s, 70s, and 80s. He has scored the soundtrack to the award-winning indie film, A Perfect Life, filmed in Tacoma, Washington. Rosati's lyrics are empathetic to the human condition and evoke a sense of possibility and wonder. Joe is a patriot and an active podcaster. His background includes being an outdoor education instructor, SNAP, and at the School of Urban Wilderness and Survival. He has worn many hats in the entertainment field, including that of a nightclub proprietor, filmmaker, and actor. Both the Reflection Pool and TruthStream podcasts platforms are his for sharing the journey of life's experiences. Well, congratulations for, I think you've got 33,000 followers on your TruthStream channel. So for those of you listening, if you're on Rumble, be sure to go and subscribe. You can bring it up to 34,000. You know, Joe, you and I met last week. You and Scott interviewed me on your TruthStream. And that was thanks to Chantel French. So massive shout out to Chantel. She's in my Empowered Connections Club. So I have the pleasure of meeting with her pretty much every week, actually. Her business is called Bioenergetics. Go ahead and follow it on Instagram. She does amazing Friday lives. How did you meet Chantel?
Well, I went to this amazing event in Boulder, Colorado in January of 2024. Put on by the one and only Dr. David Martin and his wife, Kim Martin. And I was, you know, there was times I was sitting in the room around with about 70 people, just pinching myself, like, how am I in the room with this phenomenal group of people that many have been standing for humanity? And Dr. David Martin, I mean, he's someone, you know, you might recognize him. He has the bow tie and the bald hair and or bald head, rather. And his video in 2023, literally about a year ago, in Parliament, has been seen over 4 billion times. And
oh my goodness.
He's an absolute warrior. There's things we interviewed him. It was a very vulnerable interview because we wanted him to be able to talk about things that maybe he isn't able to talk about so much. But it was an absolute honor. And I suggest anybody that knows his work sees the interview because he's went where he's never went before. And and I met Chantel there and a bunch of other amazing folks standing for humanity. And, you know, we were interviewing a gentleman named Dave Guru, and he's from Australia. And I just thought, you know, it'd be nice to have this New Zealand piece of the puzzle because I have family that lives in New Zealand.
Yeah.
I have an adopted cousin who's Maori, and aunt and uncle and their sons live there. So yeah, I just thought, hey, let's do this. And you were able to do it. So it was great to have you on the show.
It's funny because I always feel like I have to almost apologize for the fact that I don't sound like a proper Kiwi when I'm trying to represent. But it was amazing to talk to you guys. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I did. At first I was like, wait a second, where is she? Okay. Canadian, New Zealand for 27 years. So
yeah,
I think you're a great representative for New Zealand.
Thank you so much. So you know what? What I'll do is I'll follow up with you. I'll grab the link to that interview with Dr. David Martin. I'll put it on the replay page along with, of course, the link to TruthStream so people can follow you as well. So let's dive in. Before we dive into the topic, let's dive into the backstory. I always love to give my audience a little bit of a window into the person I'm chatting with. What did your life look like? Like, what led you to this point where you're literally now shining the light on truth and standing for humanity? What led you here?
Well, I think like many of us in this movement, there's always been kind of this thing about authority that just didn't really resonate with us. And for me, it started with a few different events in my life. One was, you know, I built a skateboard ramp as a kid and, you know, checked in with all the neighbors and everything was going fine until there was a noise complaint. And to make a long story short, basically they took three different decibel readings and they submitted the loudest one that was at the ramp, the one that was at the neighbor's property. And that was like this first kind of, you know, moment of, wait a second, this doesn't add up. Then of course there's, you know, JFK, 911. There was some incidences in my own family life, like watching certain things that happened with my dad and the IRS. And then there was an incident I had at a four-year school where the instructor or professor had a real, it felt like a vendetta against my lab partner. And I just kind of watched the school system in that respect that didn't sit well with me. I ended up going through the school court system to represent myself. It seemed like there was like, he had to fail 30% of the class.
Right.
And passed 70%. And it just so happened I fell within that that 30%. And it was just, that was another eye-opening moment. So there's a lot of these little things that happened in my life that just didn't really add up. And when COVID hit, it gave me a lot of time to really dig into things. And then I think what really pushed it over the edge was I started hearing about the Native American women in the United States and that when they disappeared, the authorities, they didn't, the ones for the reservations, reservation, once the women were off the reservation or if they disappeared off the reservation, it was like, well, it's out of our hands. And then the cops that weren't part of the reservation, well, it's like, well, that woman's from the reservation. So no one was being accountable. And I just thought, wait a second, you know, this didn't add up. So that's kind of the quick version that got me there. And
yeah. Well, it's so fascinating. Just, you know, just lasering in on that skateboard example when you were so young, like so classic, right? They take these three different measurements. Of course, the only one they show is the highest one. I mean, and it's a similar thing today that where we talk about, you know, the manipulation of the metrics or the deception with the data. And that's kind of what we've been experiencing or at least seeing in the past 4 years. It's probably got on the whole darn time.
Right. Oh, completely. Yeah. It was just, wow, what else do they do? And so it's just those little things that stick with you. And then, I don't know, I think for many of us, it's like things may have been put in our way to either throw us off or make us think about things differently. And now as we look back on our lives, we're in these exact right positions to take mm-hmm. all the things that we've learned and apply them to help mm-hmm. our fellow humans wake up. And, you know, because I think you and I are here to, we don't need to get into like the real extreme content. It's like those people that are kind of on the fence, just wondering what is going on. And if we can plant the seeds and help them to just at least look at certain things, then maybe they'll start, because it's that one domino, right? And if that falls, they can start looking at the other components of it. So,
yeah. And I think some people out there are upping their brave in the way that they're actually starting to ask some questions. And other people are upping their brave in that they're like, okay, I'm going to share this interview. Like they might listen to something on Reality Check Radio and go, I've kind of been under the radar, but I'm just going to share this one interview. And that's upping their brave. Right. Speaking of upping your brave, this is kind of a throwback question because you and I have this outdoor education background. What was one of your favorite outdoor pursuits when you were studying that?
Well, yeah, so I worked in the desert of Idaho at a place called School of Urban Wilderness Survival. And I don't think it's around anymore, unfortunately. But we're out there on these 3 week trips. And for the first 2 weeks, you're watching, what happens is there's the kids that have been out there 3 weeks, right? Or nearly 3 weeks. And when the first week group is there, they think they're completely alone, right? And so you're having to play this good cop, bad cop, because they, you know, it's almost like, it's like the parent that, not exactly, but parent that wants to be a friend to their kid, but they also have to be a disciplinarian. Well, here we are, these kids have never met us or seen us or anything like that. And so we're complete strangers, but we're basically letting them know, if you listen to what we say, we're here to help guide you out of this. Because you got yourself here. Like, we're here. You did something in your life that your parents felt compelled to have you likely picked up in the morning with two, you know, bodyguard type people thrown in a van, you know, at the airport. And now you're here in the middle of the desert wondering, what the heck did you do? So it's usually the kids are, you know, behavioral, drugs, you know, whatever they did to get themselves there. So the beautiful thing was, is when these kids in the first week, they're freaked out. And then they start learning about the other groups that are out there. And then they meet the third week group. Right. And then they start feeling like, wow, okay. They feel empowered by it. And then they, you know, then after the second week, they'll go into a solo for about 3 days. But to watch them get empowered and step into their power with just in those first couple weeks, it was so beautiful. And I think the thing for me, it was like, I never really felt like there was a subject matter in the school system that I wanted to teach. And that's the beautiful thing about doing the podcast. And when we do it live. It's we're learning, and people see the looks a lot of times on my face. and then by we're learning and teaching all at the same time. And so it's kind of like there's that little kid in me that is waking up on the show like these kids did on the outdoor excursion.
So yeah.
It's still to carry that. Because a lot of times in our lives, you know, our light gets dimmed because where do we fit in the world? How do you make a living and be yourself? And just to carry that on and as adult, you know, some like 20 some years later, it's a beautiful thing. So I think that's the biggest thing, is to still have that part of me that shines like it did for those kids.
Well, the interesting thing, I really feel like the outdoors has the power to kind of fast track learning, you know, when you're in that environment and it's very intensive and there's the elements, you know, the wind, the rain, the cold and things like that. So you have these experiences with people that maybe as a friend who, like, maybe you talk on the phone or maybe you go, you know, get some dinner, it might take 2 years, you know, for your friendship or your relationship to get to that point of connection, communication. But it's like in the outdoors, like things like that can really condense how long things take, and therefore the learning and the growth can be really expansive really quickly.
Yeah, like when a kid's cold and then learns to build their own fire because they need to be warm, and you know, they're doing it themselves. You're just guiding them and you're empowering them, and it's just such a beautiful thing to watch. And yeah, it's very real. In fact, it was challenging for me after 3 weeks to come off that. You know, I went to private school, and I have friends that became pretty successful early on in their lives. And just for me to get off the trail and then go hang out with them. And it's just like, you know, it's a very unique experience to almost felt like you're living in two different worlds. So yeah, because when you go from shelter and food and these basics that are so important, and then once you get off the trail those aren't really your worries at all anymore. It kind of messes with your mind a little bit, because it was so important for these kids. So
that whole thing about living in two different worlds. I mean, I feel like I live in two different worlds right now, sometimes with the conversations I have with the majority of the people that I do spend time with. And then other people, when it's just a different level of dialogue. It's a different level of conversation. And sometimes it goes deeper or goes more along the lines of truth and freedom, but quite often it might not. So that's interesting to navigate. Where are you geographically? Where are you geographically? Go ahead.
So I'm in Washington State.
Yeah.
In the Tacoma area, of the United States. But I was going to say, it's almost like every conversation now, you almost feel like you have to read the room because you don't want to overwhelm people with some of the story. You know, some people are ready and some people are not. And
yeah.
What conversations do you have? It's a bit challenging at times.
Have you had one recently where, you know, somebody, you were able to kind of plant a few seeds and they were open to hearing them?
I'm starting to see that with some family members. Yeah, well, a lot of it is, you know, the transgender, you know, movement, if you will, and seeing, not that my family members ever bought into it, but now it's becoming so, a parent, and I, you know, I've been trying to tell my nieces that there is literally an agenda, and they don't see it. So now that there's enough stuff out there circulating, and one of my brothers is, you know, is a dad, and hopefully his kids, my nieces, start seeing it soon. But I think my brother's starting to wake up a little bit more. I mean, not necessarily to that component, but to other things, you know, with the inoculations, et cetera. But yeah, so we're getting there.
What about the digital currency piece? Are people starting to be a little bit wary about that, or talk about the possible negative implications?
You know, it's such a mixed bag, because you hear things about Nasara Jasara and that's happening. And then you hear that, you know, a lot of digital currencies could be, you know, wiped out by cabal-oriented type of entities, if you will. So I don't know. That part I'm still torn on. I mean, I know, you know, a lot of people have talked about XRP and Bitcoin and things like that, but I don't know. That remains to be seen. I'll leave that there for now.
Yeah, that's right. Because it's something some people are concerned about. Other people think it's actually going to be convenient, or it's no big deal. So yeah. It's interesting to see different responses. Let's talk a little bit more. Let's go to the topic of today, standing for humanity. What does that look like to you?
Well, we've had a gentleman on the show, and I met Stanford Graham at the 12 Senses workshop with Dr. David Martin. And there's just this responsibility that I think many of us feel. Once you know, and not that we know all the truth, so I don't want the audience to get me wrong here, but
yeah.
Once you really start to get somewhat of a grasp on how much we've been manipulated with the MK Ultra, the brainwashing, that our history is not what they've taught us. I mean, if you're an empath, especially, you want to let people know. And I think the real challenging thing for me is, you know, being the son of a pharmacist, my dad passed a few years ago. I just was pretty aware of certain things in the medical world as a kid that, you know, even my dad had said that he wouldn't, if pharmacy was how it is now, compared to how it used to be, I'm not sure if he would have really gotten all that involved, you know,
right.
Because it went from, you know, using more traditional plants and herbs to everything's now manipulated for a patent. I mean, now you got restless leg syndrome and things like that. And so, as far as the humanity, I just felt like, what can I do to use my skills and my voice and to make a difference for people? And we, you know, Truth Stream's a very guest-centric show.
Yeah.
So, you know, Scott and I will have our viewpoints, but I think the more beautiful, brilliant, amazing guests that you have and you allow them to share their viewpoints, and some of them may not be exactly the same, then it allows people to start thinking of things from a different perspective. So I just felt, what can I do to you know, utilize my background and stand for humanity? And that's the show is mainly the one thing that I do, or one of the main things that I do for that.
I feel like it is. It's you tapping into what I would call your superpower. So that's for you around your voice, both speaking, asking questions. So it's that inquiry, but also the singing. When did the singing start? Is that something you've been doing since the skateboarding days?
Well, the good question. So I was in a band in college, and you know, when I think when a lot of kids start out, or people start off, because some might not start off as kids, but you think, okay, I want to be part of something. I want to be, you know, I mean, for me, it was, you know, bands like REM and The Cure and Echo and the Bunnymen. And I'm like, man, I'd love to be part of that. And I picked up guitar in my late teens, and I was shortly thereafter in a band just doing rhythm guitar. And then I started, you know, it started happening so fast that I'm like, oh my gosh, we're off to the race. I mean, and at the time, like Nirvana was breaking, and I'm in the Seattle area, and Pearl Jam and Soundgarden, all these bands are, I'm like, oh my gosh, is this really happening? And then, you know, I mean, that doesn't happen for everybody. And then, you know, there's stories that I've heard that's another time for another day, like how much of that scene was controlled, planned, manipulated, mm-hmm. et cetera. That's another topic for another
day. Well, yeah, in terms of lyrics and even album covers and, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Like Nirvana, In Utero. What does that really mean? I mean, you know, there's certain things I've heard.
And the Pearl Jam concert that you went to recently with that.
Yeah, the Pearl Jam concert. I was just a little surprised by how much darkness and the lighting and the, you know, I mean, Eddie Vedder had talked about one of the songs called Satan's Bed and the satanic panic that he felt before he introduced the song. And, you know, there's different ways that people might read that. But, mm-hmm. you know, as much as I've dug into some of this stuff, it really didn't sit very well with me. It made me feel very uncomfortable. But as far as, you know, the music, I went from mainly being a rhythm guitar player in the band. And then, so the day before we were supposed to record the demo in 1994 up at Western Washington University in Bellingham, the singer actually quit. And back then, you know, you couldn't just go get a studio and record on your computer. And so that was a big deal. And so I was sitting there for about a year, you know, trying to figure, I mean, I started in a few months after that, like, what am I going to do? Because to me, it was a big deal. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I look at a band called New Order, and, you know, when New Order, they came from the ashes of Joy Division, but they had, you know, people knew who New Order was. They were on the verge, or Joy Division was, they were on the verge of, you know, coming to America, and the singer ended up, unfortunately, taking his own life. But in my mind, I just felt like, well, that's my role model. And, you know, it could be, and maybe at the time it was delusions of grandeur. I mean, I certainly accept that now, but I just felt, I guess the story in my mind was, if I'm going to do music at all, I got to start writing the lyrics and using mm-hmm. my voice. And so I released a CD in 97 called Narrow Path, and that was partly from a demo tape that came out in 95. But it's been this slow journey of figuring out my voice, learning how to use it, a lot of isolation, a lot of working with people that, you know, especially when the whole COVID narrative hit, that they didn't see the world as I saw it. And so I have had a lot of time to myself to just figure out, like, what am I going to do? And so once COVID hit, you know, I'd been doing, if I don't know if people are familiar with, there's a gentleman named Nicholas Vinyaman, and he's a...
Yes, of course. Yeah, I know, yeah. Nick. I mean, I don't know him. I follow him on Rumble. Yeah.
Okay, so cool. So I started procuring quite a few of the people for his show in 2021. And so from that, you know, then I started seeing people that he had on his show. He had E. Smitty, who he runs Sound Alive Records, and I'm now part of that. Nick Alvear, who runs Good Lion TV. It's kind of the Netflix, the red pill of Netflix.
Nice. Type.
And anyway, I just saw the people that Vinyaman was having on his show, and I just felt inspired to reach out. And I reached out to Nick Alvear to do some of the shooting, and we did a music video called Freedom Now. And then I got on, and I didn't know what to do with the music because I didn't know who to distribute it, because I wanted to go with a red pill, you know, an awake type of company. So then I reached out to E. Smitty at Sound Alive. And so through Nicholas's show, I started, you know, networking and then, you know, ended up doing TruthStream once I felt a little bit more comfortable. So, you know, it's just to use my voice. It's like now I can use it in this movement. And so I've released Freedom Now, the single, and Lifting Veils, and I'm redoing the video for Freedom Now for a 2024 version. So yeah, so it's using my voice in a few different ways. But the music things have been very challenging because there's not a lot of awake people that I've met up in the Northwest to go and play live music with. And we talked about this on the TruthStream show. I do so much with the show that going out and playing live, I don't know if I'm quite ready to go do that unless the audience is at least a little bit awake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why is that? Are some of your lyrics got truth, you know, truth breadcrumbs in there?
Yeah, I would say that for sure. Not all of them. They're my back catalog. It just had more to do with, like, you know, the human spirit and personal growth and life and death. And, you know, songs like Die Without Dying, where, you know, it's the rebirth process.
You know what? For our listeners that are getting excited about your music, we are going to play one of your songs after this interview. We're going to play Lifting Veils. Which is, it says, I looked it up on YouTube. It said a song for healing and enlightening humanity. What's the backstory of that song?
Well, a lot of it is, first of all, it's in 432 Hertz. So that the music industry, the radio industry, that was infiltrated and taken over as well. And so everything was in 440 Hertz. So if you look at footage, I don't know if it's either water or sand, but, you know, they'll put something, you know, near a speaker, and the frequency of 440 and how it looks compared to 432, it's much more beautiful. I mean, everything is frequency. And so since that was hijacked and manipulated, you know, we need to start getting back to the frequencies that was, you know, created for humanity.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask you about the Hertz. So for our lovely listeners, many of them will know, and they've heard about music in the 432 Hertz that is positive impact on your body. And that a lot of music, most music that we've been hearing all these years, actually is not necessarily beneficial on your body from a frequency and energetic perspective. So you can literally Google, you guys, you can look up like 432 Hertz music, or music that is healthy for your body. And you can just play these 3-hour soundtracks, and it actually can be, you know, quite not only soothing and relaxing, but actually quite therapeutic for your body. Is that accurate, what I'm saying?
Yeah. And there's a few different frequencies that people can dig into, but yeah, just look that up on YouTube, and yeah, bathe yourself in that. I would definitely suggest that. So yeah, in a nutshell, that, you know, and that song, the Lifting Veils component, it's one of the lyrics, the chorus is, I'm fighting for you while you're fighting with me. And that can be taken two different ways, because when someone fights with you, they could be on your team. But in that song, it also can mean that they're literally fighting with you. You're fighting for someone that doesn't see that, and they're fighting with you, just like whether it's the mandates or the jabs or what have you. And so that's the thing. When the people that are not aware of this realize that we're literally, the reason we're looking or have looked like quote unquote crazy people or whatever.
Yeah.
It's because we want our fellow mankind to be aware of this. And that's who the song is dedicated to, those on the front lines that are fighting for humanity, despite what we might look like.
Because it is so ironic. It's like we are literally fighting for you while you're trying to drag us down.
Exactly. Like I think it takes me a while sometimes on certain songs, because, I mean, let's face it. When you're a songwriter and a song comes out, you're not, and it's not a competition. But when I was in college, I did a study on this topic. Most people remember the songs or listen to the songs that they listen to in their kind of early to mid 20s. Of course, they're going to listen to new music, and of course, stuff before that. But that genre, that kind of what they listen to for the most part, falls in that. So there's a lot of memories. There's decades of memories, you know, when you hear a song, whether it's, you know, maybe like something like, you know, Just Like Heaven from The Cure, or, you know, Enjoy the Silence from Depeche Mode, or what have you, you know, and you're in your, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, there's some of your memories of your friends.
Or Desperado from the Eagles.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, whatever it is. So when I'm putting out a new song, it's like, I do want it to have an impact, and I'd rather put out something that may take a bit longer. I'm working on a new song called To Unite. And I mean, I literally, Lewis Herms from the Truth Tour and Screw Big Gov commissioned me to write this song.
Amazing.
But I'm like, so I'm looking through, you know, on Spotify, the different songs about unity and what they're called and all that. And so, I mean, if I'm going to make a song, I'd rather have it be one song that people actually listen to than a whole album that, you know, I rush out and because, you know, that people may not hear. So I don't know. There's a lot of thought that goes into it. And So anyway, I just wanted to get that out.
No, that is so amazing. And music has a lot of memories. If people listened to my show last week, I was sharing with them how I do some work with the elderly two mornings a week. And what I did is I got interviewed on another show, Jerry Pives' show, which is called The Psychotherapist's Chair. And in that interview, he asked me for 7 songs from different stages of my life. He said, a song from an early romance, a song from a dramatic or exciting time in your life, a song that makes you feel soothed and relaxed, for example. And then I went and did that as an activity with my beautiful elderly people. And it's so true. Different songs bring back so many different memories. It's so powerful. So if you're listening, and if you just joined us, you are listening to the Up Your Brave show. I'm talking today to Joe Rossetti, all the way from America. We're talking about standing for humanity. He is also a songwriter and a singer, hence the talk about music. We're going to play his song later on. But we would love to hear from you. What is resonating for you from this interview? How do you take a stand if you feel like you have, or maybe you feel like you would like to take a stand for humanity? What would that look like if you upped your brave? You can let us know, 2057 on the text or email, inbox@realitycheck.radio. Joe, I'd love it if you have some, I don't know if tips is the right word, but if I've got people listening and they're thinking, I do want to take more of a stand. You know, I do want to make more of an impact and take a stand for humanity. What is some guidance or some actionable things that you have seen other people do maybe, or ideas that you feel could make a difference, a way that some people can start maybe standing up a little bit more?
Oh man, that's a great question. Well, I suppose how it worked for me, I mean, obviously it's easiest to talk about personal experience. But what we did for the show is, you know, we started the podcast, and then we went, you know, it's align yourself with people, either find an event, find a show, stop, you know, start commenting. And then maybe in the comments, you'll see someone that has a comment that's similar. And then you can maybe start talking with them and seeing where they live and seeing if they're close, and maybe starting with a cup of tea, and if you can meet them in person. Because I think people have been so isolated that if you can just find someone in your town, or even within an hour, and then you could meet up. And then, you know, maybe you guys start something, and then it grows and blossoms. And then, you know, maybe you can have a group of 3, 4, then you could have a little, you know, events. But you see where the events are in your area. Like, this is so cool. You know, I'm looking at the picture behind you, and all these folks in New Zealand that have taken a stand. And now you've got, you know, people that used to be in radio and people like yourself that are, you know, being brave. And I don't know, I suppose that's the thing. But somehow find some way to connect with those that are like-minded, whatever that is. That's a good place to start.
I think that's so true. And we have amazing groups here. We have Voices for Freedom. We have the PHA, which is the People's Health Alliance. So there's lots of things that people can join. But even watching a video on YouTube that you really love, and then seeing and making a comment, like upping your brave and actually making a comment, not just like, love this, you know, great video, but actually something a little bit more, and start connecting with people that way. Or my favorite way, of course, in person, like you suggested, at an in-person event is so great.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say something about the comments, you know, especially YouTube it's tough to talk about sometimes because it is an amazing platform, but I've lost a few YouTube channels. So there's that. I just want to get that out there.
Censorship issues. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. We lost our TikTok. We had 14,000 followers on that, et cetera. But the comments, if you read the comments in any video, it's a real way to gauge what people think of this. And you can get a lot. I mean, you read the comments almost before you watch the video, and you see that, you know, 90% of it, because you're going to have some trolls in there, right? But if you're seeing people pour their heart out and make some beautiful comments as the impact that a video had, and then you comment on that, you can start interacting, and that person might be right down the street. I mean, the comments are, they're really an amazing, amazing tool. And we've gotten glorious comments on our Truth Stream show. And it really keeps us going, because you know, you don't do this. And I just want to say this. People, newscasters sign contracts that are for entertainment. They're not signing contracts that are for delivering the truth. They are primarily, it's called Mockingbird Media. They're paid to read a script. And, you know, people like yourself and Reality Check Radio, that's not what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, hopefully that statement alone can help people understand what's going on. But at TruthStream, Scott and I, you know, we run our show. We are not bought and paid for. We're, you know, we're hopefully entertaining as well as, you know, I mean, I was on a show with SGN on and Nick and Dylan from The Bridge. And Dylan's actually a brilliant guest and co-host of, you know, he's been on our show as a guest, but he's on his show as a host. And they had me in tears because of some of the things that we were talking about. And, you know, the whole skateboard ramp thing, that just doesn't represent a skateboard ramp. That's represented me and my voice and being suppressed for many, many years. I mean, it's had a ripple effect on many things. And so, you know, that's the thing. I just want to let people know that this censorship is very real. And, you know, people like yourself and I, we didn't sign any kind of contracts that, you know, tell us what we need to say.
I think that's so important to highlight. You know, they're literally reading scripts. Like, they're literally been given, this is what you can say. And they can't just riff and throw in their own opinions the way we can. Right. So TruthStream, though, you guys have been going 2 years now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot. How often do you publish something or how often do you go live?
Well, let's see. We have Dr. Christiane Northrup on Wednesday.
Amazing.
The 12th. And that'll be our 268th interview. When we started, we were probably doing, I don't know, 3-4 a week. And then we're doing our lives now. And our lives go anywhere from like an hour to sometimes three, because we go really deep. You know, and I'll tell people this. When we're watching these million-dollar movies or hundreds of million-dollar, whatever, tens of million-dollar budget movies, there's a lot of, you know, either mind control or different ways to manipulate people into thinking certain things. I think people right now want conversations like this. And when we can go deep, and I mean, at first it can be a little intimidating when you see something's 2 or 3 hours, but break it up, you know, because when we're letting humanity know about how much we've been bamboozled, a lot of times that can't just be a 2-minute TikTok video. Yeah. You got to dig deep. And, you know, and our guests have many, many years of experience. So yeah, so now we're doing a couple a week.
That's amazing. I mean, I think it's such a good point about the movies. You know, I always say to my kids, what's the message of that movie? And they're like, Mom, it's just a movie. There's no message. And I'm like, every movie has a message. But I think people are starting to really realize how much we're being told what to think and how we have been told. It's not just this is a new thing that suddenly they've started doing. They being the media, for the people that are like, who are they? They being the media, but also they being the movie makers, they being the entertainment industry, singers, songwriters. You know, we are being told to a certain extent what to think and even who to like and who not to like. Like, it's quite a fascinating scenario when you take a step back and you look at it from a wider perspective. It's quite fascinating.
Well, yeah, and you even look at some of these Disney kids that, you know, you look at the Miley Cyrus and the Taylor Swift. They start off and, you know, somewhat more innocent, and then they go through, and these are kids that are growing up with them. And so the more that those artists become, you know, sexualized or sexual, then it kind of... It has an effect on the kids that are growing up with them. And if they do stuff that seems okay, well, they're basically shaping the behavior of a lot of their fans. And so, I mean, you could just, it's pretty blatantly obvious if you see it. So we see it with so many artists.
Absolutely. I agree. It's not just that, oh, there was this innocent, sweet, wholesome girl, and now she's going through a rebellious stage. It's like, no, they're telling her what to wear. They're giving her the lyrics. It's the same as the media thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once, that's the thing. once people are aware of this, then they can begin to see it. But if they don't even know what to look for, then you're just kind of going along for the ride. And so that's our job, is to just to point things out and say, hey, take a look at this and make up your own mind. We're not telling you what to think, but you should be aware. And that's why there's shows like the one you're doing and the one I do. So
absolutely. And for those listeners who actually don't even know what Rumble is, definitely go and check out Rumble, because it's kind of like uncensored YouTube. You know, it's where people that get kicked off for YouTube for having the courage or audacity to question things or to talk about certain topics. Like, there's certain words you're not allowed to say or you'll get banned. So go and check out Rumble. So I'm coming to the point in the interview where we're going to get to how people can connect with you. But what would you do in 2024, what is left of it, if you were to truly up your brave?
Wow. I mean, I think I'm kind of doing it between the shows and the songs. We'll see. Maybe in the fall, I to up my brave, I would be performing a little bit more, you know, playing at least some acoustic shows. But yeah, I think things are coming together in that way. So I think that'd be stepping out of my comfort zone. But like I said, I mean, we're pretty brave at TruthStream. We're taking on all kinds of subject matter, and then I'm doing the songwriting. So I'm kind of pushing my limits as it is, but I think that would be the thing, is to at least perform a few shows before the end of the year somewhere. I don't know where yet.
All right. Well, I can't wait to hear about it. I think, you know what? The people will be ready for it by fall, which is what, September for you guys?
Yeah.
I think they'll be ready for it. All right. Amazing. So how can people connect with you, and what is coming up in your life or your work for the next few months?
So to connect, we have a link tree, and it's TruthStream, and that's the easiest way. Now, if you go to Rumble, it's TruthStream with Joe and Scott, because there's a couple other truth streams on there. But so that's how we separated it, because there's definitely no other ones that say Joe and Scott. And there's a little yellow circle with what looks like an Airstream and a little speaker on the top.
Okay. So the logo, you're talking about the logo. It's like a pale yellow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's there. And then as far as, you know, how to connect, I would say, you know, and then there's my website, Joe Rosati Collective, JoeRosati Collective.com. And, you know, people can find the different things I do on there. But yeah, and then I'm working on a song called To Unite, and that should be coming out for the Truth Tour in the fall that Lewis Herms from ScrewBigGov is doing. It's been a little complex. It started off with the idea of doing like a song in the vein, not exactly, but of We Are the World. Mm-hmm. But the difference is, We Are the World had singers that people heard of, a massive budget, a studio, people knew the styles of those singers. I mean, when you're competing against that, it's a massive machine. And we're doing something that's a little bit more, I don't know, it's more singer-songwriter. There's a little bit of reggae in there. It's about unity, because there's been so much infighting, you know? And the bottom line is we're trying to...
You're talking about infighting within the truth movement, freedom community.
Yeah. Not only that, but in families as well.
Right.
You know, with friendships. I've watched bands be ruined over this.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is we've got to, you know, some of us have been more awake than others. And, you know, we got to help each other through this. So this shouldn't be about the I told you so's and all that stuff. I mean, God, hug it out. bring your friends along and say, you know, maybe, and for the people that are out there, that have seen, you know, people like yourself and I, you know, not that we're expecting apologies, but it would be nice to say, just, hey, you know, I see what you're doing now. I appreciate it. I didn't realize that we were up against this much evil, and just acknowledge that, because we all need to help each other through this. There's going to be a lot of information that's coming out. It's going to be very challenging for people to accept. But we're all going through it together and we all need each other. So.
So true. I love it. Hug it out. Exactly. And yeah, maybe some people might acknowledge. But yeah, I do. Yeah. I do get people acknowledging the work I'm doing, but usually they're already on the same wavelength. Do you get people from the past coming to you and acknowledging what you're doing now?
It happened the other day.
Nice.
It did. I ran into a friend that had said some nasty stuff online, and he actually apologized, and he's a musician. And he just said, you know, things have been really weird, and I'm sorry for doing that. And I just said, man, I forgive you. I forgive everybody. I get it. Yeah. Things have been weird, but yeah, let's not let this tear us apart. I mean, nice. That's the thing. It's crazy. Cause I, you know, like I said, my dad was a pharmacist, a man of the people. And I just thought, okay, well, I'm just going to start telling people what's going on and they're going to get it. And boy, that is not how it's been. So it was very confronting for me because I came from, you know, amazing parents, just beautiful family. And that's, we're all each other's family. So yeah, I'm starting to see it. I'm starting to see people kind of follow the show and some comments and reaching out and old friends telling me that, hey, their husband is, you know, on the same page and he needs someone to talk to. So it's starting to happen.
Good. Where can people find your music if they want to support you, but also listen to it? I mean, are you, because I looked up one before on YouTube. Are you YouTube? Are you Spotify? Where do they find it?
Yeah. So definitely YouTube. But Spotify, definitely Spotify for actually streaming it and listening to it.
So we can go and subscribe to your Spotify channel.
Yeah, 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 that would be good. And then if people want to really find a lot more, I'm updating the streaming. If you go to Bandcamp,
BANDCAMP.com,
you type in Joe Rosati, that's where you're going to find more of my music.
Oh, I mean, cool.
Now some of it, now that I'm part of Sound Alive Records and the distributions, you know, getting out there a bit more. Yeah, I'm gonna be uploading a lot more music onto that. But you know, streaming doesn't really pay. So if people actually do want to support, Bandcamp is where they can you know, support. But streaming, yeah, for sure. Spotify, iTunes, etc. It's all coming up on there.
Well, I will find the links. I love the sound of Bandcamp. I'll find the links. I will put the links on the replay page for everybody. That's what I always aim to do. But if you're listening and you can't remember, then you can always send us a message to 2057 and you can say, give me the links for Joe and we'll email you back or text you back.
I can send them to you too, if that helps.
Sounds good. Hey, Joe, before we wrap things up, is there anything else you want to share with our audience today about this fascinating time we're living through and standing for humanity?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, let's put it this way. And this is what my friend Scott, who's the other half of Truth Stream, told me. The world that you think you live in and the world that you actually live in are two totally different things. And what I mean by that is that there's a lot, you know, most people are good people, but there has been an agenda to dim the light of who we truly are as human beings, as mankind, and womankind. I don't know what the proper humankind is.
And humanity.
Yeah. So be open-minded and you're going to find that it's going to be very confronting to learn some of this stuff, but glorious when we can actually live with the potential that we've been given, that's been hidden from us. We have not been allowed to be as humans how we were designed to be. And that's the world that's coming and it's going to be glorious. So that's what I have to say.
And I say, bring it. Thank you so much, Joe, for joining us today.
Thank you, Natalie. Appreciate it very much. I'm very honored to be on your show.
Amazing. And thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057, that's 2057, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio.
We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.